Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David K. Johnston, who is a professor of law at Syracuse University and the president of Investigative Reporters and Editors, an education organization with 4,200 members. A 13-year veteran of the New York Times, he won the Pulitzer Prize in 2001 for reporting that uncovered loopholes and inequities in the U.S. tax code. And he has uncovered so many tax dodges that he's been called the de facto tax enforcement officer of the United States. He wrote the best-selling books Perfectly Legal and Free Lunch, and his latest book is The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. His forthcoming book is Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. Welcome to Background Briefing, David K. Johnston.
Well, glad to be here, Ian. And by the way, IRE has now grown by another 500 members. We're over 4,700. So even though journalism is shrinking, IRE continues growing.
Well, so does the price of tickets at the Super Bowl. Now, I'm beginning to think, David, that we are revisiting the Roman Empire here, where in this big Colosseum where the gladiators, who will all be getting brain damage as they beat the hell out of each other today, are being watched largely by the patricians in their private luxury suites that now go for up to $1,019,000. And meanwhile, the ticket prices for regular folks, the cheapest tickets in the stadium, are going for $2,096. So I can't imagine that there are any average folks in that stadium.
Well, only if they won a promotional contest somewhere. That's exactly right. And one of the things about those tickets, when they're bought by businesses, as most of them are, either for the executives to bring top customers along or as a reward for employees, they're tax deductible. So you want to buy a $1,000 ticket to a football game. If it's a company, you get a tax deduction for it worth $350 from the federal government. But if you're a citizen, you've got to earn that money and pay it out of the after-tax income. And for most Americans, that means it's going to cost you around $1,300.
So we've already seen, at least I've seen on television news, clips of Teterboro Airport, which is quite close to the East Rutherford MetLife Stadium, absolutely cheek to jowl. They're charging a surcharge to park your jets there. So with these luxury suites with private chefs and climate control going for over $1 million, you have to also add to that the extraordinary costs of the hotels and the parties. And interesting enough, David, the Vince Lombardi trophy itself, for the winner, whether it be the Broncos or the Seahawks, is made by Tiffany. So,
well, yes, they're not going to do anything on the cheap here. What, you know, understand, the entire commercial sports business in the United States is very heavily a taxpayer subsidized business that takes from the many and gives to the few. Of all the new stadiums that have been built in recent years, and you know that there's so much eagerness for this, that the Atlanta Braves are going to leave their 17-year-old stadium for a new one that the Tea Party Republicans in one of the outer counties are willing to build for them, an astonishing indication of how this isn't really about low taxes with the Tea Party people. It's about making sure the rich mine the rest of us. So 79% of the cost of new stadiums paid for by the taxpayers. Massive other subsidies that go to these sports in various ways. Those private boxes, and the only two professional football games I've ever been to in my life were in a private box, and it was belonged to a business where, you know, it's a tax-deductible expense because he brings clients to these things. This is part of one of the reasons so many Americans are struggling, is that the 1% of the 1% have been reaching into our pockets and forcing us to give them money. And let me tell you how bad ticket prices are. The Broncos and the Indianapolis team, the Colts, had a game in October. The average ticket price was $464 to that game, and the cheapest ticket was $167. That's just astonishing. This is for a game of just a game. It wasn't the Super Bowl, and at this game, the cheapest ticket costs more than the most expensive Super Bowl ticket did about 7 or 8 years ago.
So, What does this have to do with the game itself in terms of the fans, the people who actually watch football? I guess they all watch it on television because they simply can't afford to watch it.
Yeah, people watch it on television, and it's important to the football leagues, the owners, that they keep the large television audience so they can keep shifting these costs. You know, there's a proposal before a federal judge now for the league to pay out in round numbers, $750 million to deal with brain injuries to football players. And Joe Namath just gave an interview where he says, you know, I have brain trouble. The human body is not built, not any part of it, for football. The real costs of those injuries are going to run billions of dollars. But if the football teams get away with this, if the billionaire owners get away with this, you and I will pick up the cost of what's really workers' compensation claims by these workers. And this is all part of this enormous cost-shifting and tax-shifting by billionaires. And if you're listening to this, if you haven't called your congressman and your state representative and your mayor, if you have a team, and said, stop these subsidies and talk to your neighbors about it, then you haven't done anything. And just listening to the show is a waste of time if you don't do something about it.
And again, I'm speaking with David K. Johnston, who's a professor of law at Syracuse University and the president of Investigative Reporters and Editors, an education organization with 4,700 members. A 13-year veteran of the New York Times, he won the Pulitzer Prize in 2001 for reporting that uncovered loopholes and inequities in the U.S. tax code. And he has uncovered so many tax dodges that he's been called the de facto tax enforcement officer of the United States. He wrote the best-selling books Perfectly Legal and Free Lunch. And his latest book is The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind, and his forthcoming book is Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. So this game today and the various luxury suites and all of this stuff that we've been talking about, David K. Johnston, you've also got to add to the tab here that these over this weekend, and particularly in New York, there have been these A-list parties. DirecTV had a Super Bowl Saturday night party on Pier 40 in New York, hosted by Eli Manning, featuring 6,000 high-end revelers and entertainment by Jay-Z. And then Playboy rented the Bud Light Hotel on a cruise ship that's parked there in New York. And that's got to cost some serious money. Is all of that stuff tax deductible?
Yep. As long as the company shows that it is, as the law calls it, a reasonable and necessary, ordinary and reasonable business expense, then it's all tax deductible. And all these companies arrange this as marketing. And furthermore, remember that the IRS's auditors have been handcuffed by Congress. Now, when a company is audited, a big company, there is an agreement in advance on what will be audited. Only the things that are agreed to can be examined. Even if the auditor finds awful things going on, they're not allowed to pursue them. And the company knows in advance what's going to be looked at. Now, compare that to the inspection of pet shops, which are done on surprise because that's how you find out things. I mean, we have complete regulatory capture under President Obama and before him, the two previous presidents, of the Internal Revenue Service. It has been turned into an agency that does the bidding of the people it's supposed to be auditing, and it's a terrible, terrible policy. And, of course, Congress is cutting the budget of the IRS so that even if somebody is cheating on this, they're not going to get nailed. It's not going to happen.
Well, no, the last so-called scandal, which the Republicans, inflated over some minor IRS official looking into the legitimacy of the Tea Party as a 501c3, that they managed to turn that into a persecution of the Tea Party. So
yes, and amazingly, Ian, the guy who ordered the careful inquiries of these applications was a self-described conservative Republican who's a career IRS guy. And the way to think about this non-scandal scandal is as follows. Imagine you're the building inspector of your town and somebody presents you plans drawn on, you know, with crayons by a child to put up a multi-story building. You know, you're going to immediately say, I'm sorry, we have to investigate this. Well, the request that they got for tax exemption screamed on their face, we don't qualify. And both liberal and conservative groups were scrutinized. There's no question that some of the conservative groups were more heavily scrutinized because their applications were so completely inappropriate. And the only groups who had their status taken away were liberal groups. So this is a complete non-scandal. This is complaining that the building inspector is doing his job to make sure that buildings are safe and sound. But it's typical, unfortunately, and this is a really bad thing about this, you know, the Republican Party, instead of being the responsible party of fiscal conservatism and, you know, restraint against new ideas, has turned into the party of manufactured scandals, of transferring money to the wealthy, and of harming the economy whenever it is not in their political interests.
So, David K. Johnson, the other aspect of the Super Bowl, apart from my analogy to the Roman Colosseum and the patricians basically having all the seats and the plebeians being shut out and the gladiators on the field getting brain damage, there is also this obsession with security. I don't know whether you've been following the news coverage. But that seems to be – is that just the way we are today because of this post-9/11 paranoia that any big event, our focus is on security as opposed to what the event's about?
This is an unfortunate development the founders warned us about can happen. You know, when the British had bombings at Harrods, which is the premier department store right in London, an unbelievably fancy place, they didn't shut down all of their society and take away everybody's civil liberties. They recognize that there are bad people who do bad things, and they address them. But we, unfortunately, have developed this awful mentality, and one of the best explanations of the expression of it is a book by a libertarian named Radley Balco called The Rise of the Warrior Cop, where he goes through why the police are becoming more and more militarized, why we're having more and more of these incidents of overreaction. And it is this appeal to our fear rather than to our strengths. You know, there's always been terrorism. There are acts of terrorism described in ancient documents like the Old Testament. There will always be people who will commit violence because they don't see any other way to make their political cause. But you don't throw away your liberties and your individual freedom because, yes, a few of us will get killed. If I end up dying because some idiot blows up the plane I'm on, then I end up dying, but I shouldn't give up all my liberties because that might happen. That's absurd. And yet that's what we're doing. We're seeing politicians appeal to our worst fears because it strengthens their position and discourages us from doing what we're supposed to do in our democratic society, which is challenge and question and hold accountable our representatives in our government.
Well, back to the Super Bowl in terms of the game itself.
Yeah.
It seems to me that it has evolved from a kind of, you know, of course, they, you know, used to have leather helmets, and you see those early Army and Navy games on television, and now the sounds of the people hitting each other, the absolute impacts that you see sometimes are just horrendous. You wonder why how these people ever get up after they hit.
I think that just as boxing came under serious assault because it was inherently unsafe, we're slowly beginning to see the same thing about football. And the rest of the world, of course, other than Canada, plays soccer, which doesn't involve nearly the risks that football is. We know that football is an inherently damaging sport to the athletes who participate in it, and yet we continue to pour subsidies into it. We continue to denigrate education at many of our colleges so that we can support teams, you know, right to the extreme example of what we saw in Penn State, where we cover up for a child serial rapist in order to protect the football team. And this is a terrible expression of what's gone wrong with American values.
Well, but it also seems that more and more the focus is on owners and coaches and whether they get fired, you know, and you see these poor mea culpas from these coaches, you know, and that all seems to me to be kind of an expression of sort of laissez-faire capitalism, you know, that everybody's expendable, and you always see the owners behind the glass in their remote luxury suites. And they always, the camera always goes to them. Is that what's happening now? now? Because, you know, this plutocrat in Silicon Valley made these absurd comments about how the 1% are now being scapegoated like the Nazis scapegoated the Jews. And you get the feeling that these people are living in a completely different planet. And
here's the important thing about Tom Perkins, the guy who said this, who he says he's not a billionaire, by the way. He did go through a divorce. I mean, that explains it. If he hasn't earned after tax well more than $1 billion in his lifetime, given that he's at the premier Silicon Valley venture capital firm, he's really not a very good businessman. He should have earned well north of $1 billion by now over his lifetime. But we don't know, because, of course, that's not public record. But, you know, the 1% of the 1% are being criticized, not for having money, but for not bearing an appropriate part of the burden of making America thrive and endure in the long run. And then turning this into, oh, I'm a victim. I've got $1 billion or hundreds of millions of dollars, but I'm a victim here. And, oh, they're thinking about class warfare. We have class warfare in America. We've had it for years. Warren Buffett has pointed out, we have class warfare. It's being waged by those at the top against people down below, and as Buffett said, my side is winning.
Or has won. Just in closing then, David K. Johnston, of course, the other aspect of it is how much the media makes out of it. I mean, a Super Bowl ad, a 30-second ad, costs $3.8 million. So apparently Fox is going to make $380 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not the media. That's one outfit. It's Rupert Murdoch's Fox Sports that's doing this. Let's be clear. That's a highly concentrated benefit, but everybody else covers it because something like 100 million Americans, one out of three of us, is going to watch this football game tonight. I'm not. I'm going to the supermarket because there's no line at the store. But if people want to watch football, they want to watch football. And what we should be concerned about is you and I, who, if we don't watch it, shouldn't have to subsidize it with our tax dollars, which means we're forced to subsidize. And Ian, can I just make one comment about the thing?
Yes, very briefly, yeah.
About Christie.
Yeah.
Okay. If David Wildman is not believable, if he is a completely disreputable person, as the governor says, why in the heck did the governor appoint him to this minimal work, six-figure job at the Port Authority? We need to pay close attention to matching up what politicians say over time to their statements. And at one time, David Wildman was so respected, he got this important plum post. And now, because he's saying something that is damaging to the governor, you know, he's a totally disreputable person. Well, then why'd you appoint him?
Well, David, I thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Again, I've been speaking with David K. Johnston, who's a professor of law at Syracuse University and the president of Investigative Reporters and Editors, an education organization with 4,700 members, a 13-year veteran of the New York Times. He won the Pulitzer Prize for reporting uncovering loopholes and inequities in the U.S. tax code. And he wrote the best-selling books, Perfectly Legal and Free Lunch, and The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. And he has a forthcoming book on inequality. And we're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about how Argentina is run by a mad queen.